Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin First Semester 2015 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the quarter two conference call. As usual, I will comment on quarterly sales, and then I will leave the floor to Mr. De Angelis, who will take you through the financials and the numbers. Let me start by highlighting the key successful steps we have undertaken during the first semester of 2015. First, we signed a commercial agreement with Quest Diagnostics for the commercialization of our vitamin D in the U.S., and that has been a successful endeavor for us. All the instruments have been installed, and the customer now is up and running with our vitamin D. Thanks to this agreement, we are able to stabilize, as you have seen, our vitamin D business in the U.S. by increasing volumes that can more than compensate the price pressure that we continue to see with the underlying business. Second, we obtained the approval of our vitamin D in Japan. We waited a long time, as you know, and finally we got it. We managed to enter the country with our Liaison XLs that were installed as we speak by the three largest private laboratory chains in Japan. We are waiting now for the authorities to grant the reimbursement code. We expect the reimbursement code before the end of the year, so we expect to start selling vitamin D in Japan by the end of this year, latest beginning of next year. Third, as you know, we presented on May 12 the long-term plan to the financial community. In our plan, let me remind you, we foresee an annual compound growth rate of 8% in revenues, 9.5% in EBITDA, and 10% in net profit. Last but not least, which has been the object of a press release recently, we have signed with Beckman Coulter a partnership in China where Beckman will start commercializing immediately our HIV and hepatitis products on the XL connected to their track systems, namely the PowerXpress, that is the latest track system that Beckman has successfully launched worldwide. We are very keen about this partnership. It will allow us to get into the large hospital labs in China, whereas we will continue independently with our own organization to install the Liaison XL in the mid-size hospitals and in the regional hospitals. Now let's get to the quarter two results. As you have seen, it's been a very good quarter. We had outstanding sales with a growth of 15% at current exchange rate versus last year and 6% at constant exchange rate. The performance was reached thanks to the continued success of the ClearX vitamin D products worldwide, and in particular of infectious disease, the prenatal screening, and our 125 flagship product, which was launched, if you remember, last year in April, has been approved by the FDA by the end of last year and is gaining a lot of traction in all the major labs, allowing us to convert our existing RIA business and to gain a lot of new business coming from competitors. Now, let's focus on vitamin D, and let me highlight a very important news on this quarter, which is the impact of, again, vitamin D on total revenues. After almost 4 years, vitamin D sales registered a positive contribution to the group total turnover, growing 14% at current exchange rate and pretty much in line with last year at constant exchange rate. This result is the consequence of the agreement signed with Quest Diagnostics in the U.S. that we announced during Investor Day. This agreement will be in force for 5 years, is valid in all Quest labs, and allow us, as said, to stabilize our vitamin D franchise as we have foreseen in the plan that was presented to the financial community. As said, the impact of the Quest agreement is particularly visible in the U.S., a market that is highly penetrated by vitamin D. only in quarter two, North America grew almost 33% at current exchange rate, with an acceleration when compared with the previous quarter, and by 27% in the semester. Furthermore, let me remind you that in the U.S., our Clearx vitamin D sales, including vitamin D125, are growing high double digit thanks to the successful strategy in the North American market, where we are consistently addressing the mid-size hospitals and labs, thanks to the LiaisonXcel success and the broad Clea menu available on our systems. So as far as the U.S. is concerned, I think we need to report stabilization of vitamin D and then continuous growth of our franchise out of vitamin D, and that allows finally the U.S., after a few years, to start growing again. In Europe, the business is growing as expected, and at current exchange rate, we grew almost 7% in the quarter and 5.5% in the semester, following the steady growth of infectious disease, again, hepatitis, endocrinology, and the new stool test, which were approved starting from last year. In particular, let me highlight the success of our vitamin D in Italy and Germany, together with the endocrinology product and stool testing. So vitamin D continues to be a growing franchise in certain geographies where we can successfully push demand and usage, and thus complement the growth of the rest of the catalog in these geographies. In Europe, the only black eye is France, where we continue to see a negative impact vis-à-vis last year, or the fact that the vitamin D reimbursement has been changed, and there has been a drastic reduction in the number of tests that have been performed in the French market. However, with quarter three, we will pretty much reach the bottom of the curve, and quarter three pretty much will be flat vis-à-vis quarter two. So starting from Q3, we're not going to see the drag in France as we have seen so far. So overall in Europe, I would say everything is going well as planned, notwithstanding the market is certainly not growing. We are experiencing success in Germany. We keep growing in Italy, notwithstanding is a very difficult market. We are exceeding expectations in Spain, and this is due to the recovery of the market, the fact that the government did reforms and started again to pay the suppliers, and therefore we have high expectations from the Spanish market going forward. And then last but not least, the Nordics are doing very well, and the strategy in the Nordics, as you know, has always been driven by the specialty products, high profitability specialty products, and now is pretty much paying out. Now let's move to Asia Pacific. In Asia Pacific, we grew 26% in the quarter and 31% in the semester. This relevant result in the region has been driven by the success of our installation of systems in China, where Liaison and LiaisonXcel placements are growing at a strong pace, and where as of June 2015, they exceeded 700 units in the field, of which 170 are LiaisonXcel. So China continues to grow. We have a lot of success in the mid-sized hospitals, and as said before, with alliance with Beckman Coulter, we'll be able to penetrate the significant hepatitis HIV market in China in the high end of the market, where, as it happens in other regions, customers need more automation and a combination of a very strong position in clinical chemistry of Beckman, and as well as our strong immune OS in hepatitis will for sure continue to fuel double-digit growth moving forward in China in the next foreseeable future. On top of all this, let me also highlight the successful trend we are experiencing in China with all the Clea products, so not only the hepatitis. In the second quarter of this year, we grew in China 36% thanks to the contribution of the catalog overall. So this strategy, definitely, it has been laid out, is working for us. For the future, we foresee an annual growth for the Chinese market of roughly 22%, which include the increasing sales also due to the partnership with Beckman Coulter. Let's move to Latin America. Latin America for us has been difficult also in the previous quarters, and the main reason for that is Brazil. As far as Brazil is concerned, we have seen an issue with the public segment of the market, and where we were heavily skewed vis-a-vis our business model, problems with payment and collection have driven us to stop distribution of products to certain accounts, withdraw system from customer base, and refocusing our business into the more lucrative and stable private sector. We expect the business pretty much in Brazil now to be flat. We have seen this over the last two quarters. We still compare negatively vis-a-vis last year, simply because we are comparing to a situation where the sales were still relatively high. And we have a neutral outlook vis-a-vis Brazil. It really depends what is going to happen with the country vis-a-vis its ability to pay, especially in light of the Olympic Games, which is going to happen next year, and we hope they're not going to be too disruptive vis-a-vis the rest of the business. As far as Latin America is concerned, the rest of the region is doing okay. Mexico is fine, is a very solid franchise for us, still growing on the reagent side, and the rest of the South American countries are fairly opportunistic. But still growing double digit for us. Now, as a final comment before I will let Pierluigi drive you through the numbers, our at constant exchange rate, our revenues grew 5% in the first half 2015, 6% in quarter two. And this is positioning our group in the highest part of the revenue guidance for 2015. So we feel good about the guidance we gave to the market for fiscal year 2015. Now we'll pass the microphone to Mr. De Angelis, and when he's done, we're gonna open the Q&A session. Pierluigi.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Let me start by highlighting the good marginality of the group in the quarter and in the semester. As far as profitability is concerned, our group EBITDA grew by 22.4%, reaching a margin of 37.9% in the quarter and 37.3% in the semester. This outcome benefited from the increasing gross profit, the lower incidence of operating expenses on revenues, and the euro depreciation. As for our net profit, we register a growth of almost 30% in the quarter and more than 20% in the semester, thanks to the group positive performance and to the tax rate that in the period was equal to 33.9%, in reduction from the 36.6% of the second quarter of last year. The difference in the tax rate is the consequence of the Italian fiscal reform and the lower amount on non-deductible taxes withheld on dividends that the group parent company receive from foreign subsidiary, especially from the states. The net financial position of the group at June 30, 2015 is positive by very close to 200 million euros, increasing by 29.6 million euros from the end of 2014, net of the payment of dividends in May 2015. This successful number has been generated once again by the strong cash generation and by the sale of shares from the exercise of some tranches of the 2010 stock option plan. As for the net working capital, during the semester we registered an increase of 13.8 million euros, mainly due to the growth of sales and the foreign exchange rate impacts. Concerning the cash flow, it is worth mentioning the outflow coming from the payment of dividends in May, the investment of 1.4 million euros for the setup of our new Polish subsidiary, and the investment of 30 million euros in time deposit. Carlo already mentioned that we are positioning ourselves in the highest part of our revenues guidance for 2015. Let me confirm that the same achievement for the EBITDA and the LeasePlan XL placement over this year. Now, let's open the floor to the Q&A section. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator, and we will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Patrick Wood with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Perfect. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have three, if I may. The first would really be on the Quest agreement. Am I right in understanding that that only really started mid-Q2? I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of how we should be thinking about the impact from that through the balance of the year. The next question was really, and I think you kind of highlighted it yourself, you guys are tracking ahead of guidance both on the constant currency EBITDA number and also on the organic sales growth. Given the Quest contract's now up and running and given the LabCorp pricing schedule is sort of rolling off in the comparison base, do you think this is looking a little bit conservative, or are there some incremental costs that we don't know about which are coming into the second half of the year? The final question would actually be on vitamin D. There was a panel at AACC this year which was talking about mass spec, essentially trying to claim that more and more people are moving to mass spec for vitamin D. I found that very odd given Quest just went the exact opposite direction and given your results. Could you just sort of confirm that you're not actually seeing any of that? Because that sounded very strange to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. First one, let me start with vitamin D. I don't know. I keep saying that there is space for mass spec, but certainly there is no space for mass spec for vitamin D testing when it comes to routine usage, and especially when it comes to bigger hospitals and certainly for private labs. The reason is that mass spec it does require a lot of hands-on time. It is not simple to standardize, and eventually it's much more expensive to operate than a traditional immunoassay. Again, this is as demonstrated by Quest and as demonstrated by a lot of other customers. Honestly, I don't see a threat for mass spec. However, I see mass spec as a very powerful technology for certain esoteric testing. When it comes to your second question on the guidance, I don't know if I'm conservative or not. I'm just pointing out the fact that as far as the first half, we are on track with guidance vis-à-vis the top line, vis-à-vis the EBITDA and the placements, and for the time being, we reiterate the concept that this is the expectation for the company for 2015 year-end. Then first question regarding Quest. Quest has been, I cannot get into many details, but Quest has not been fully operational in the quarter. In the quarter, you see just some of the revenues coming from Quest. In quarter three, it's going to be full operational. The Q3 is going to be the first quarter where you see full impact of the total Quest opportunity on vitamin D. I have to say it has been a very successful implementation. All the labs now are up and running, and now clearly it is a management objective to, as we did with LabCorp, to develop our franchise at Quest behind vitamin D. Vitamin D is a given. The customer is happy. Let's see if we can sell more products to this very relevant customer in the U.S.
That's perfect. Thank you. Maybe just one very quick follow-up, if I may. The Beckman agreement in China, do we know very roughly when you guys expect that to begin to sort of start rolling out?
Different from the Roche situation, the Beckman and the Yasorin platforms are connected, both the old platform and also the new platform that they launched last year. So the power processor and the power express. So there is no connectivity issue. All the products are approved in China, so the rollout is immediate. And we will see the effect of this in the second half of the year and then going forward.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Romain Zana with Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. The first one would be on the gross margin. Can you give us more granularity on the breakdown of the gross margin improvement, especially the improvement coming from for favorable Forex and the part coming from the operating leverage or the better purchasing conditions? Second question will be on the cash flow and the cash conversion, especially the free cash flow is flat, if I'm right, for the first semester compared to last year. Should we expect any seasonality H2 versus H1? And I mean, do you see the business becoming more capex intensive or not? And the last question would be very quick on Japan and Liaison XL. I mean, is your 2017 plan already includes the opportunity over there once you will have the reimbursement? Thank you.
Yes, Romain, I think I can cover this quite quickly. As far as Japan, the answer is yes. The plan was, in fact, envisioning the availability in Japan of vitamin D starting from the end of this year. As far as the cash flow, you're right, it's flat, but for a simple reason, it has to do with working capital. Last year, in the first half, we had roughly a 5 million euro payment by the Spanish government. You know, Spanish government has been paying the suppliers in tranches, and one big one came in Q1 or Q2 last year, but in the first half, and this explains the difference in the cash flow between. Between H1 this year and H1 last year. As far as gross margin, no, we do not provide the granularity you are requiring. However, let me say that the improvement in gross margin is a combination of the two effects, but don't expect that it's only related to exchange. There is also a component that has to do with mix and with volume increase in manufacturing and improvement in the absorption of the manufacturing sites.
Okay, perfect. And just following up on the cash flow, basically you expect a catch-up of the cash conversion in H2 then?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Anastasia Karpova with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a very short question on Quest. Given that you most likely gave the price discount, you saw a significant volume increase in vitamin D sales. In regards to Quest, have you seen a significant stockpiling, a one-off purchase of abnormal volumes of vitamin D test, or shall we expect that the volume increase that we saw in this quarter reflects the real demand of Quest for vitamin D that will go forward?
Sorry, I'm a little confused about the comment on discount of vitamin D because we were not supplying Quest before, so there's been no discount. As far as stockpiling, as I said before, the quarter two reflects partial Quest volume, which is a combination of usage and clearly initial inventory. Keep in mind that usually customers of that size don't keep more than a couple of weeks inventory. So, as I said, the Q2 does not reflect the full potential of the Quest vitamin D volume.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking my question.
The next question is from Peter Welford with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, yes, thanks for taking my questions. A few, please. Firstly, just with regards to Japan vitamin D, I wonder if you can remind us as to the typical pricing for these sorts of diagnostics in Japan relative to the rest of the world, appreciating obviously that reimbursement is yet to be granted, which I guess could have an impact. Secondly, then, just with regards to the cash pile, I know this is a question that comes up again and again, and obviously it's up to the board, but just wondering if there are things that are currently management are discussing and reasons perhaps why it's prudent to keep a large cash balance at this time, or whether it is just that, I guess, opportunities are challenging to come by at the moment and succeed. And finally, then, just two quick financial questions. I wonder if you could give us the EBITDA margin or EBITDA effect from the molecular diagnostics business, and also the rationale for the relatively high other operating income in 2Q. It's relatively high negative charge during the second quarter. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start from the last one. For the EBITDA, the molecular contribution is very minimal. So I think in the quarter is a negative by a million, something like that. So it's becoming negligible, as it has always been, by the way, vis-a-vis the group results. As far as other operating, there is a one-time hit of 1.1 million, which has to do with the fact that we have, as I said before, in Brazil, situations with certain customers that went bankrupt because they did not get paid by the government, and therefore we took a write-off on receivables of roughly 1.1 million euros. Which was recorded in the Q2 results. As far as the cash part, you know, we are having this surreal discussion, I think, every conference call. Yes, in fact, we do have a lot of cash. Yes, in fact, we put an effort into M&A activities and looking into opportunities. As we have discussed several times, the U.S. is there where that for us would make is very appealing because it's a stable market, because there's a certain pricing structure, because it's a predictive, predictable market, because we feel that we have a very good positioning, but on certain segments of the market, like the hospital market, we are underpenetrated, and it would make a lot of sense to add critical mass there. However, as you know, the multiples today are not cheap, and the market is very hot vis-a-vis certain assets, so we are prudent. And I honestly prefer to explain to you we have a lot of cash in the bank rather than having to go after opportunities, paying a price that doesn't make sense. Then it's going to be, in order to anticipate your next question, it's going to be the board responsibility eventually by year end to consider what to do with cash if management is not able to put in front of the board a credible opportunity for an acquisition. As far as Japan pricing is concerned, Japan, as you know, is first, we don't operate directly in Japan. We operate through a distributor, and our distributor in Japan is a diagnostic company which is part of the Kirin Group, you know, the big food conglomerate group in Japan. This diagnostic company is specialized in bone and mineral metabolism, so vitamin D fits very well their strategy. As far as end-user pricing is concerned, the end-user pricing in Japan is very high because the reimbursement is very high. However, the distribution channel is not a traditional one, because even our distributor is going to sell through some local wholesaler. To make a long story short, we envision that because of the price structure of Japan, we are going to transfer to our distributor in Japan products, vitamin D products, at the same end-user price that today we enjoy in the U.S. or in Europe in regular customers, so X LabCorp, X Quest, they do have a special treatment because of volumes. So it's going to be a very profitable business for us because we don't have any operating costs locally. We sell at end-user pricing, and last but not least, we do sell all the equipment, all the liaison excels needed for to do business there to the distributor.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Rosa, Mr. De Angelis, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Take care.